Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. The week flying right along there, Mark Schlereth. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm a little bit worried about our guy, Millennial Ben, behind the glass.
He's got a little freak out going on, but that's all right. It is. It's starting off. What a Thursday.
What a Thursday.
This is great. Love it.
It's great when
it's going to be. Hey, he's Millennial, just, it's going to be okay.
Don't worry about it. Hey, relax. Come on. Take a page from our friend Aaron Rodgers and just relax. Okay? Have yourself some West Rock.
Okay, boomer.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Meanwhile, what's Duff doing to help out poor Millennial Ben? Really? He's moonlighting. I see.
Oh.
How'd he turn them down?
He's over there hobnobbing with the peoples.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when he comes back.
Yeah. Expect a chilly, chilly reception.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Hey, Drew Locke is looking forward to going back and playing at home.
Oh, I think we'll all make a little too much of it. It's just another football game. Got to prep like I did the first 2 weeks and just be ready to go.
There's going to be somewhere around 50 people, friends, family, that will be taking up a big old section there at Arrowhead. What are the pros and cons of going back to play in your hometown? You never went. Of course, I don't think they ever played a preseason game in Anchorage for you, did they?
No.
So you never had to deal with the pressure of going back home.
But it was cool when I got to go back to Washington, D.C. and face the Redskins, and we opened up a can on them. So that was a great feeling, you know. It was a great feeling. So I think that's really cool. I mean, you know, obviously you get to go home, you get to be in front of your friends and family, and some of the guys that you played with in college and all that kind of stuff. Like when I went to Seattle, all my college buddies would come to the game. But
so does that help you?
Does it
put a little bit more pressure on you to deliver?
The only thing it does is it's a pain in the butt during the week trying to get all that stuff scheduled. But because I was married, I just put it all on my wife and she took care of it. And then to me, I was just like, I'll see you guys after the game. Like I'll see you guys come down to the buses after the game. So I had no interaction. I was always business as usual. I'm not getting out of a routine. So as long as you don't get out of a routine, then I think you're fine. I don't think it bothers you at all. And it's fun to know that you got all those people in the crowd. But when the ball's kicked off and you start playing a game, I didn't one time think about who's up in the crowd ever. You're thinking about doing your job. So I don't think the only thing that can be a pain is if you have to schedule a bunch of stuff and you have to do a bunch of stuff and everybody wants to hang out with you before the game and let's get dinner and let's sit. No, that's not how I do.
But this is the place that he went to, as he said, a lot as a kid. I mean, he went to a lot of
Chiefs
games.
Right.
And so that moment when you run out there on the field, now he has played at the stadium once before when he was at Missouri, but this is a whole different thing. You know, you're at Arrowhead. Place is crazy. You know, this is the team you grew up rooting for. Said Dante Hall, the joystick, was his favorite player. Said he went to games there involving the Chiefs and Peyton Manning and the Chiefs and Joe Flacco. I don't know. I mean, I, I, like I said, I think there are pros and cons to it because there have got to be some moments for him early on where he's just going to be taking it all in going, I can't believe this. This is surreal.
Right.
You know, and does it affect him? Or does it just make him so locked in, pardon the pun, laser sharp that, you know, he just goes out and balls out again?
Well, based upon what I know of him so far, he hasn't seemed to be, he's shown great poise. He's played at a level beyond his years and beyond his experience and beyond his practice time. So, I mean, I wouldn't think it would affect him that much. You're right. It is cool. I remember playing a preseason game in Pittsburgh. That's the team I rooted for as a kid. And I, you know, how many millions of times that I've seen Three Rivers Stadium on television, you know, and the first time I'm in there, but I never went to a game as a kid. I grew up in Alaska, you know, there's definitely a difference there that I can't. And, you know, there's probably a very palpable difference there that you rooted for that team. Now you're playing against that team. You're in that stadium. Yeah, absolutely. But again, like I said, I mean, I have played in a few Super Bowls and as much as on the line for those games, as soon as that ball's kicked off, I never one time thought, oh my God, I'm playing in the Super Bowl. I was playing a football game and you're so locked in and you're so myopic on the job that you have to do on a play-to-play-to-play-to-play basis that I just don't know. Now, if you waste all your energy pregame, you know, you waste all your energy getting hyped during the week and stuff, and you can come out and maybe be a little bit flat. Now, that's a real possibility. That part is. But once the game is kicked off, you're not, I'm telling you, you just don't think about, at least I never did, about the magnitude of the game or where you're playing it at or any of that crap.
And you talk about some of the pregame stuff, the distractions and dealing with the family and friends and all that stuff. Mm. You know, you football players, you guys, especially when you're out on the road, I mean, it's like every single minute of your time is spoken for, right?
Right.
I mean, you have very little time when you're out on the road between once you travel, arrive, meetings, dinners, you know, all that stuff, you know, and then, you know, getting to bed and all that stuff. I mean, is there really that much time?
No, you may literally have, you check in the hotel, you may have 2 hours before your first meeting.
Right.
And then after your meetings and everything is done that night, you may have an hour before bed check. Right. So it's not like you're, you know, twiddling your thumbs. They've got you on lockdown pretty much.
Lockdown. We're going to lock down.
The Laser Show.
So we can unleash the lock.
Who was the Laser Show? Was Michael? No, that was the Laser Show. Is your Boston guy, right?
Dustin Pedroia was the
Maybe
Laser
we
Show.
A new Laser Show.
Is it?
The Laser Show.
All right. The interesting take from Vic Fangio. We've heard talk about there being a 17-game schedule coming our way for the NFL here in the not-too-distant future. What does he think about it? And an interesting idea that he floated yesterday. What do you think of it? We'll bounce that back and forth next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
I think you got it.
Yeah.
I think you got it figured out.
I do. I've figured it out.
And I can't wait to tune into the broadcast this week.
I've got my finger on the pulse.
Detroit in Tampa.
Detroit, yeah. Tampa at Detroit. Tampa has won like
three in a row,
yeah. They're actually playing, even though they keep turning the ball over, they're exciting because they put up points. They chuck it. Bruce Arians is
BA.
100%. You know, the risk it, no risk it, no biscuit. BA is shoving it down the football field.
They won't have me though.
No. You're out.
I'm out. Hammy.
Yeah.
Tender hammy.
Some guys pull hamstrings. You pull a ham cord. Ham rope.
Ham steak.
Yeah.
All
uh-oh.
Right. So. We know, well, maybe you don't know, but you should be prepared. The NFL wants to go to a 17-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And cut down the preseason. which I think I'm speaking as a fan. I think we as fans would all love more NFL football.
Sure.
You as a player, you're like, not so much.
Yeah.
So the idea of a 17-game schedule, how will it look? There's some speculation that it'll be eight home games, eight away games, and then a neutral site game played in London or Mexico. But they don't have enough really foreign setups yet to be able to do that every week, you know, mm-hmm. for every team. So mm-hmm. all kinds of ideas still being talked about as to what's going to happen. Here's an interesting take on it from Vic Fangio yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I mean, since the league went to 32 teams, which was when the Texans came in 2002, my ideal suggestion, which has never been put forth in front of anybody important, but I don't think there should be divisions. I think you got 16 in each conference. Everybody should play each other once, and that's 15 games. Okay, and then if you want a 16th game, you play a natural rival from the other conference. You know, Jets and Giants play every year. Eagles, Steelers, you know, Texans, Cowboys, et cetera, play every year. And then keep it at 16 games. But you'll avoid the problem that's going to happen this year, where probably an 8-8 team is hosting a 12-4 team. You're going to get the six best teams in each conference, and the divisions always float. There's some that are easy some years, some that are got a bunch of good teams, you know, that switches back and forth every couple years. I just think it'd be a good way to avoid it, but I'm not for 17 games. I think it should stay at 16.
All right, what do you think? So instead of having two games with the Chargers, two with the Raiders, two with the Chiefs, you would literally play every team in the AFC. Patriots, Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Bengals, Texans, Titans, Colts, Jags, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers once. And then you'd have your natural NFC rival, I don't know, Minnesota or Arizona. What do you think?
I think there's a reason that nobody's ever listened to that.
Okay. Okay.
You can't get rid of your divisions, your division rivals, you can't get rid of the Raiders, Broncos.
Well, you'd still get it, but you'd only get it once a year. Not twice.
I don't think you can get rid of your division. Personally, I just don't think that. Now, I know the NFL throws a lot of propaganda about the 17-week schedule, you know, and mm-hmm. the 17-game schedule. But I don't know that I don't know the Players Association. Well, I know the Players Association isn't on board right now. But, you know,
the idea will be, hey, one more extra regular season game means one more game of revenue for you guys to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we'll sweeten the pot for you guys a little bit. We'll, you know, add a couple of, roster spots.
Yeah. I mean,
plus it'd be, you know, two or three preseason games instead of four. Know how much you hate those?
Yeah, the preseason games are easy though, Mike. Preseason games aren't work. Guys, most of you don't even play anymore. Even when I was playing, it was great. You mean I just have to play a series or a quarter and I'm out? It's like a day off. It's less than practice. So, you know, that's not necessarily a great incentive. But, you know, I mean, right now they're digging their heels in. They're not going to accept it. So they get locked out, and then they get to July and realize, uh-oh, everybody's running out of money because we spent it all. And then they'll roll over for some, you know, for some lollipops and some free Gatorade. So I know how it works. I've been part of it.
Right?
No, hell no, we won't do it. What can we get? You mean you're gonna hand out, you know, jujubes at the you know, at lunch? Those are good. They're tasty.
Aren't you kind of embarrassed knowing what the NFL owners say behind closed doors about you guys?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
They just know that you're going to cave.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they know that we're going to cave.
Silly little football players. Aren't they so cute?
Look at them.
Look at them talking tough.
Yeah. They know exactly what the deal is.
So you wouldn't want to do that, huh?
No, I'm sure that if that's what they want, well, inevitably the 17 they'll
game,
get
but,
it.
But no, the 17 game, it's coming. You're going to get more NFL. They'd be crazy not to do it.
Well, they could showcase, like, if you want to do neutral site games, you could showcase the new stadium in Los Angeles for a couple of neutral site games. You know, you could do that a bunch. I mean, there's plenty of things that you could do to get a neutral site game.
Yeah. So well, add some iconic college places, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things you could do. You know, go down to Baton Rouge.
Right.
You know, something like that.
Saturday night.
Can you imagine playing an NFL game and you're in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Oh.
The Big House.
It's a great idea.
Right. So there's plenty of places to go play neutral site games.
Yeah, like a Broncos San Francisco game in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Right?
I am hotter than a red pepper.
Man, Stokely would be just like royalty coming home for that.
Oh, Stokely would like be the honorary team captain.
Yeah.
Man. He'd do the coin toss.
Everybody, this side is heads. It's Peyton Manning. And this side is tails. That's also Peyton Manning.
There's one little Peyton Manning coin.
My best friend Peyton Manning.
Oh, that'll get back to them.
Oh, the Hardy Boys.
Oh, the Hardy Boys are. They have rabbit ears when it comes to us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, the Morning Brew. Tell me. The Rockies aren't prepared to do this. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we can always look back at the two picks, me trying to force something. You know, when I feel it's not there, like I said in the interview a little bit afterwards, my hands separate. I thought I should throw it and then went back on it and then ended up throwing it to where, you know, if I don't force things, I'm going to end up being all right. Just let the game flow, let everything come to me and, you know, take what's given to me.
So we know it's inevitable that once there's a book out there on Drew Lock, that teams will adjust and, you know, we'll start to learn a little bit more about what he really is as an NFL quarterback. What do you suspect after two games the Chiefs will attempt to do that perhaps we didn't see from the Texans last week?
Well, I mean, I think you always, you know, you're always careful about the way you mix things up, but you know, whether you bring pressure and do all those things. I think one thing you have to do is you can't just sit in one thing. And then you have to be really late getting to what you want to get to. So as many times, and what I mean by that is, you know, you sit in a open look, you know, you sit in a too high safety look, you rotate late, everybody's on the same page. You sit in a single high safety late, you rotate late, you change your looks, you constantly move around from man to zone. You try to confuse the pre-snap ability of the quarterback. Make sure he's not quite sure. Make sure once he drops back, he's got to read that stuff out. Then you bring just a smattering of, you know, of pressure. But you can't sit with Romeo Crennel and say, hey, we're going to double team 14 every single play and we're going to play man under a bunch. And, you know, let that quarterback pick apart those man routes. Let the offense coordinator call a bunch of man beaters, you know, a bunch of crossing routes, a bunch of, you know, bunch or stack formations, get quick, easy targets for the quarterback. You've got to change those things up and give him as many looks as possible.
Next on the Morning Bro.
It doesn't feel great right now, but it's something that you play with. In this sport, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bang something. And so for me, it's about going out there and competing and relying on my teammates to help me out whenever I'm not feeling maybe 100%.
Best thing about Chiefs Week, I get to listen to Patrick Mahomes talk.
Mm-hmm.
Ba-da. Showtime! Ba-da-da-da.
Ba-da-da-da. Dun-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da. Best thing about it. Uh-huh.
Millennial Ben, you got that mashup that we always use?
All right. Millennial Ben's in a bad mood today.
He's really grumpy.
He's really grumpy.
I didn't even see him this morning. He's got a camo jacket on. Yeah. I didn't even know he was here.
Got the hood over his head.
Right.
Just the classic.
Classic millennial.
Classic,
hey, look at
millennial.
Me.
Don't talk to me.
Look at me. I don't care about anything.
Right.
I've got camo on. Yeah.
Shut up! So he bruised, Mahomes did, his passing hand.
Mm-hmm.
He said yesterday, today was the first day I was really able to get a grip on the ball. I was able to kind of flick it around. Today was the first day I was really able to grip the ball, throw it, and drive it down the field. First it was the knee. Now it's the hand. But even before he came out and said that today was the first day I could grip the football, Andy Reid was already like, oh, yeah, he's playing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's my alternative? He's going to play that one. Yeah, he's playing. You suppose that's what he, like, Patrick Mahomes is just driving down the, that's whatever the freeway is in Kansas City. There.
That's the soundtrack that's just going on in his head.
Like, what is that, road 81 or something? Who knows? 80? I don't know. I love that.
I like how Andy Reid is just so presumptuous when it comes to
with other people's bodies.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. He'll be fine.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I loved our first period. I thought we were the team that was winning the race as we had a little more edge to our game, a little more dangerous off the rush, but then we also had some real good extended zone time on a handful of shifts.
And over the moon, Jared Bednar, following last night's 3-1 win over the Flyers. Get ready, folks. The Avs have survived the worst. Mikko Rantanen back, scored a couple of goals. This team was already hungry. This team already did a nice job overcoming adversity when they lost a bunch of guys. Now as these guys are starting to come back, you watch, this team's going to take off.
You don't think there'll be a little bit of a holding kind of figuring out?
Nope. This team's 7-0-1 their last eight. This is a hungry hockey team. It's a talented hockey team. I think they are ready to go on a roll.
Yeah, every time they put the sweaters on.
That's right.
Why would you call it sweaters?
They're sweaters, because they are sweaters.
They're not sweaters.
They're not jerseys.
They're jerseys.
No, they're sweaters.
Let's
put one on. They feel more like a sweater than a jersey.
Do they have numbers on them?
Yes.
Do you have any sweaters at home that have numbers on it in your name? They're jerseys. Just because you call them sweaters,
I know
back
when
in
I put
1912.
I know when I put my Avalanche Borky sweater on, it feels like a sweater. All cozy and warm. Next on the Morning Brew.
Well over 400 in the month of May. Today's the 25th day. May high and deep left field. Way back, and the Rockies have the lead. Just like that. Number 200 for Arenado.
According to John Heyman of MLB Network, the Rockies are, quote, willing to listen to trade proposals regarding all-star third baseman Nolan Arenado. Now, it's important to emphasize here. Nolan has full no-trade rights under this contract he signed.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know he wants to play for a winner. And if the Rockies are willing to trade him to a winner, he'd probably go along for it.
Would he waive it?
I bet he would.
I want to win!
I do too.
Tell me they're not going to do this. Tell me they are not going to do it. So when Jeff Breidish came on the other day and said, you know, we've learned a lot.
Yes.
Is that what he learned? That, well, things didn't go well and we're hamstrung with a bunch of bloated bullpen contracts, so we got to trade Nolan. We're not going to be that good, so we certainly don't want to carry around his salary.
Well, I mean, but think about it. It's worked in the past, right? I mean, you get a guy like LeMahieu, you let him go for $12 million a year, and Brendan Rodgers comes in and takes his place and just lights it up. Think about all the prospects you could get, Mike.
Oh, yeah. You'll get a haul.
Your whole minor league system could be
loaded. And then
The kids. Here come the kids.
Right.
You know, I'm ready to go through a youth movement with the Broncos because guess what? They haven't tried to jam a youth movement down our gullets for a long, long time.
Mm.
They actually won a Super Bowl a few years ago.
Right.
The Rockies, they are just one revolving youth movement after another. And after getting teased with playoff appearances the last couple of years, I'm really not interested in doing it again. Tell me they're not going to. What would you place the odds that they trade Nolan this offseason?
I'm going to say only 10%.
Yeah. I'd put only about 20. They can't.
Yeah.
They can't be that stupid, right?
Oh, yes, they can.
No, they can't.
It's because they're run not by stupid. It's they're intelligence.
They're
run, by, that
they're
you don't
run
understand.
By Dr. Breidich.
Yeah, it's intelligence that you have
Dr.
no clue.
Dr. Breidich would never do something like that. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. What is grinding James Marillac ears? We got a lot of topics to cover with him, including this new football coach at CSU. What did you think of that? That's all coming up next. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover here with James Marillac from 1043thefan.com. He joins us now. James, let's just jump right into it. First of all, Drew Lock returning home, 45 to 50 people there, friends and family watching. Is this a good thing? Will it elevate Lock or will it really distract Lock?
You know, I don't know that we know, but I like the fact that he said he's passed that all those duties on to his mom and she's handling tickets and all those kind of things, which is funny. It also kind of reinforces just how young this guy is, that he's got his mom helping him with things like that. But I think that's a smart, savvy move. You know, you don't want to be taking those calls and texts and dealing with that all week. So that leads me to believe it won't be a distraction. Whether it'll be a positive or not, I guess we'll see, but you know, this is the kind of kid that just seems to sort of relish those kind of moments. Pressure doesn't seem to get to him. So I would look at it and say, hey, based on what we've seen, he's a guy that wants to go out there and kind of, you know, show off in front of friends and family. So if you made me bet, if you made me pick, I would say it's going to be a good thing on Sunday.
How do you feel like Vic Fangio handled start number two? Because, you know, I mean, obviously after start number one, it was more about being critical of the things that he didn't do. So just Vic Fangio in general handling Drew Lock and what he was able to accomplish in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little bit better in terms of he offered some praise. I mean, he would have lost all credibility after that performance when, you know, Drew Lock goes out and does something no rookie quarterback in NFL history had ever done. If he hadn't said something positive, but you know, Vic Fangio was still Vic Fangio. He still was, you know, we say it a lot, but still throwing around compliments like they were manhole covers. But, you know, this week at his press conference, he did the same thing with Kareem Jackson, right? I mean, that was as good as you can, play a game at the safety position. And Vic Fangio's assessment of it was, well, you know, he could be better. So that's just Fangio being Fangio. I did like the way, you know, when they win, you get the videos on Broncos social media of the victory speech. And I thought the way he, interacted with Drew Lock after the game when he was giving him the game ball, that showed me that, you know, the public version of Vic Fangio and then the behind the scenes version of Vic Fangio aren't the same, which I didn't expect him to be. But I didn't, you know, we hadn't really seen the examples or proof that that was the case. So that was a positive. It was a little bit better this week, Mark, just a little bit.
Let's bounce a little bit, James. The Rockies aren't really serious about trading Nolan Arenado, are they? Tell me this isn't going to happen.
Well, you know what I think they're serious about? I think they're serious about establishing a trade market for their high-priced, aging stars. Not even aging, really, all of them. I guess Charlie Blackmon falls into the aging category, but Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story. It just seems to me like Jeff Breidich is spending the winter meetings teeing up some trade possibilities because he's not expecting this season to be much different than last season. So he wants to make those calls easier to make in July as the trade deadline approaches. But, you know, I think Rockies fans should prepare themselves for that that possibility. And it's just a shame. You know, it's just the way the league is broken in that regard of, when these big contracts are getting signed by Garrett Cole or whoever it may be, it's always the same usual suspects that are in the running. And there's this group of 20 teams that are just kind of there having to win or try to win playing a completely different game. And the Rockies, unfortunately, are in that group of 20. So, yeah, I mean, I think that at some point, and it may just be the reality of the situation, if they're going to add prospects, if they're going to improve, trading Nolan Arenado may be the best way to do that. So Rockies fans don't have to worry about it, I don't think, right now. But if they're struggling in June and they have that normal June swoon, that could set up for a painful trade come July.
All right, so what do you see going forward with the Broncos heading to Kansas City? James, give us a little preview of what you think is going to happen.
Well, my expectation is it's going to be a little bit of a regression to the mean here. You know, we've all said, hey, you know, what we've seen out of Drew Lock at this point, if he has a bad game, it's okay. I think on Monday we're all going to have to be reminding ourselves that we said that, because I just think it's a tough situation to go into. That's a very good team. Arrowhead is brutal. And just the law of averages tell me that Drew Lock's going to regress a little bit. However, I do think how we saw this team play in Houston, and even how we saw this team play in Minnesota, when heading into both those games, I don't think any of us gave them any shot of keeping it close. We all thought it'd be double-digit losses. So I give them a puncher's chance based on those two games, but I'm certainly picking the Chiefs and expect this to be a little bit of a step backward, and that's okay.
James, I'm sorry, we got about 45 seconds. Real quick, I know you love saying great things about CSU. What do you think about the less than inspiring choice of, what is it, Steve Adazio as the new head coach? 9 years coaching at Temple and Boston College. He's averaged a whopping 6 wins per season.
Yeah, this is less than inspiring. I knew you would ask me this because I knew you would set me up just to try and get me in trouble with CSU fans. But it is, Mike, it's not a good sign when your program is a place where coaches go to rehabilitate their career. If you're a stepping stone, okay, that's all right. If you're a place where coaches come after being at, you know, UC Davis when they have a lot of success, and then they come here, and then they go to Florida, that's okay. That's a positive for your program. To be a place where a guy goes to try and resurrect his career, boy, that's a statement, and this is a very uninspiring hire in my mind.
All right, James Merrillat from 104.3thefan.com, thank you very much. Coming up next, all right, let's get into it. What has to happen over these final three games to create the kind of offseason momentum you're hoping the Broncos can build going into next year? That's coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.